Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome into the Labatt Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I feel so good about myself whenever I get that right, Greg. Anyway, I'm Jim Galante, sitting in for Dustin Hawkinsmith this week. I am with the great one, Greg Pickle. Ready to talk some Penn State football, Greg?
Let's do it, Jim. The first weekend kind of without football in quite some time, though we did add the AAF to pick apart. I mean, no, we'll get to that a little bit later.
We will talk about that. And a certain former Penn State quarterback, we'll discuss him also. And that will be in Q1 and Q2. We'll go over all the Penn State news and notes. Quarter number three, we're going to talk wrestling with Brandon Pelter. There was a big match the other night with Ohio State. Real barn burner right down to the end, right?
Yeah, that's what they thought it was going to be anyway. Didn't quite work out that way.
I don't have any problem with it. Let's put it that way. And then finally, our buddy Jeff Brown will be on the phone. He's going to talk PSU hoops with us, and we actually get to talk about a Big Ten win. How about that, Greg?
Yeah, how about it?
That is pretty exciting. But anyway, let's start with Penn State football talk. And I noticed over the weekend you were in a bit of a Twitter conversation, we'll call it, and which included Mr. Lamont Wade. And the discussion was, well, along with the portal, the whole transfer, should players be allowed to transfer at will? We had, and we will get to it, Justin Fields. He's going to be allowed to play. He got his waiver.
Yep.
Of course, the NCAA announced that late on Friday so they could avoid major news cycle and getting questioned about it. But let's start with, Greg, I know there was some confusion in that Twitter conversation. I'm going to let you have the floor and discuss exactly where you stand on players being able to transfer at will.
Right. So to me, you know, I think these guys should have a little bit more freedom than they do. But the point I was trying to make in that context was, if you let Justin Fields have immediate eligibility, and, you know, I keep seeing these reports from national folks that say, oh, well, everyone knew that Justin Fields was going to get immediate eligibility. Why? No one has still answered the question as to why. And if it has anything to do with the racial incident that took place that ended up with a Georgia baseball player being kicked out of the school way back in September, fine. But Justin Fields, in his statement, and I don't know, accepting is not the right word, but celebrating, I guess, his immediate ability to play, mentioned the diversity and inclusiveness of the Georgia campus, and his sister still goes there, so which is it? You know, so I'd still like to know what exactly happened to allow him to be eligible immediately. But the point I was trying to make is if you're going to give Justin Fields immediate eligibility, you gave Shea Patterson immediate eligibility last year, if you give Tate Martell immediate eligibility, then you might as well just get rid of your rule that says if you're not a grad transfer, you have to sit out a year, because what's the point? You're not enforcing it anyway, and you're not, there's no textbook, you know, checklist or anything that explains why, you know, this guy gets eligibility, this guy might not get eligibility, and so on and so forth. So if, you know, if the players want to be able to move around freely and have no restrictions, fine. But, you know, as we talked about before we got going here, I think there's also some things on the other side of that coin they have to be mindful of, because if you can be, it's a guarantee that if you give the players all that power, the schools are going to get some power that they may not like in return.
And that's exactly it. As you said, we were chatting about this before we got on the air. If the players have that total freedom, and I know it's often said, hey, Greg,
right,
at your job, can't you leave anytime you want and work somewhere else?
Right.
And we'll leave non-compete clauses and that type of thing out of the conversation for the moment. But the other part, the other half to that, Greg, is your employer can say, sorry, Greg, you're out the door. I've had enough.
Right.
So if Lamont Wade wants the freedom to leave Penn State at any point, does the Penn State football program also have the freedom to say, hey, Lamont, you're not living up to what we expected from you.
Right.
You're gone. End of scholarship. that is the flip side of that coin.
Right, and that's the great question that you don't really hear it talk about much, because I don't really think the NCAA and its member institutions would want that to necessarily be talked about. Same thing with the transfer portal. It's not like when the transfer portal and all of its stipulations came out, I don't remember reading anywhere. Maybe you do. I don't remember reading anywhere this idea that schools could cancel a player's scholarship once he was in the portal. And yet that's exactly what ended up being the case. So when these type of things happen, you don't always hear about them right away, because the NCAA and its member institute, they don't want necessarily that to be known.
It's a bad look.
It is a bad look. It's a PR nightmare if and when any school ever would do that. But you know what? They have the power to do it, and let's not forget that. And it'd be the same thing, I think, if you got into a situation where you let guys transfer freely. You know, you could certainly allow them to transfer freely, but you're going to have to give the school some kind of power in return. They're just not going to hand all that power over to the players and be done with it. So that's when it becomes a question of what exactly do players and think is fair and what's right, and do you have to sit out, you know, a certain amount of time? Maybe it's not a whole season. Maybe it's the first six games you have to sit out. You know, is that a fair solution than an entire year if you transfer as not a graduate? You know, I think there's probably some ways to discuss these things, but you know, I don't know if what James Franklin talked about last Wednesday is one of them. You know, his whole idea, one of the things he was upset about was I shouldn't say he was upset about it, but he pointed out that you can't block players transferring anymore. And he had said, well, maybe you can, you know, maybe a compromise would be you can block them from a school that's on the schedule. Well, if you're going to do that, fine, but then no coach should be able to go to a team that's on the schedule either. You know, I just think that's not really addressing the problem that we had. It's more of, looking for ways around. Everyone looks out for themselves, right? That's at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to.
And by the way, there was the ability of conferences, like the Big 12 had a rule that you couldn't transfer,
right,
even with the grad transfer to another school within the conference. Oklahoma found out it was a bad look.
Yeah.
After they took in Jalen Hurts, their quarterback wanted to go to West Virginia, and at first they said no.
Right.
But there needs to be the compromise in between. My thought was, right now, if you transfer and lose the year, that year is either a year of eligibility, either a playing year,
uh-huh,
or to use up your redshirt year.
Right.
How about you sit out the year, but you get the year back? So instead of it counting as a year of play,
right,
or one of your 4 years of playing or your year of redshirt, it's just a year you have to wait. So there isn't total freedom.
Right.
There is at least a little price to pay before you make the move.
Yeah, so it would almost be, you know, again, equivalent to your idea in the, you know, the quote-unquote regular world of a buyout or a non-compete or something like that. You know, it would at least be some way to make ensure that you didn't have guys. Because, look, I mean, the one unintended consequence of the portal, we see it play out for Penn State right now. And look, James Franklin said, and we've talked about it before, that, you know, 77, 78 scholarship players, to have that number, which is what it looks like Penn State will have, it's not the end of the world. I know it's well under the 85, but I don't think there's too many programs across the nation that have 85 on the nose every single cycle. So I don't really see that as much of a problem, but what I do see as a problem is if you let guys start transferring at will, and you're not guaranteed, of course, you're not guaranteed to get guys back from the transfer portal, you could really get in trouble in a hurry if something goes wrong. And some of that might be your fault, because look, if there's 10, 15 guys that want to transfer, you're probably not doing something right as an overall program year in and year out. But at the same time, you have to then find fits that maybe you weren't expecting to find. So I can see why he says he's worried, but there's also a reason to think, again, that the players should have a little bit more control over this as well.
We haven't seen this yet, but my other concern, until now, it's mostly been players who haven't played, so they want to go somewhere else to play, which I get it, and I'm okay with it. What happens when you reach the point where a player who's not highly regarded, highly recruited,
mm-hmm,
goes to a place, is a star there?
Right.
It turns out he's blossoms late, he's trained, and then all of a sudden says, you know what? I'm too good for this specific program.
Right.
I could go play at Alabama or Clemson. Might we have another case of the rich getting even richer?
Right.
And I think that scares some people also.
Yeah, I don't really see anywhere. I completely agree with where you're going with that, Jim. And look, at the end of the day, The rich always get richer in college football, right? I mean, even if it's not this, it'll be that. And that's another conversation when you talk about the group of five and can they ever make the playoffs. And, you know, would the group of five schools, if in this transfer environment, or, you know, the group of five schools, you know, they just start getting picked off. And that's, I think, the concern. That's the concern of the quote-unquote idea of free agency, is that guys get picked off and all these little schools can't possibly compete, because as soon as they're, you know, they find some guy, he blossoms into a stud, and then, you know, every school in the country is coming to your campus to take him. So I think that's the concern. And the only way that you wouldn't have that situation is if you kept some kind of transfer stipulation in place. Whether it may be, like we said, maybe you have to sit out a year and you get it back. Maybe you only sit out half the season, you can play the other half, but it still counts as a total of 1 year of play. You know, I don't know, but if you don't keep something in place, then you have a problem. But if you completely, you know, ignore it, then you get situations like this where guys can, you know, and this is, it's even a weird spot for kids now and coaches too. And James Franklin mentioned this as well. What do you do with these guys when they're on your campus until the end of the spring semester when they graduate, but they have publicly said they're no longer going to be a part of the team and that they're joining another team? So what do you do with them? They obviously want to train and work out and all this stuff. But at the same time, if you're Penn State, you're like, no, I'm not going to, you know, feed you. And I'm going to obviously honor your scholarship until the semester concludes, because they have to. But beyond that, you know, do you really want some guy who's going to be at Boston College in 6 months? And not to use Danny, though, but just the example that comes to mind, or Virginia or wherever. Do you really want that guy working out with you during spring practice and getting in the way? No, I don't think that you do. So it is certainly a weird situation that I don't know if any school has really figured out how to attack it just yet.
Well, I would at least think in that situation, the university, Penn State, will be able to say, hey, look, Danny Dalton, you have chosen to continue your athletic career at Boston College.
Right.
They're now responsible for you athletically. We're not.
Yeah.
We still will honor the scholarship. You could finish out the semester, but I don't think we owe him something athletically anymore. He's already made that decision. Now, you may have some special circumstances, and our buddy Lamont Wade may be part of that.
Right.
Where he has, maybe the discussion is, I'm not sure if I want to go or not. There might be some opportunities for me. Maybe there are exceptions, but that's being made by the coach.
Right.
And he should be able to make that without problem. So I'll tell you what, Greg, we're going to pick up this conversation.
We have a lot of other stuff to get to, I guess.
We do have a few more things to cover in the news. So we will do that when we come back in quarter number two. And I promise we will get to Christian Hackenberg and the AAF. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with you.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.